Turn your attention now to the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter 23. Reading this evening, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 31 through the end of chapter 24. 2 Kings 23, 31 through the end of chapter 24. Beloved, hear now the words of the Lord. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Pharaoh Necho imprisoned him at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a fine of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the place of Josiah his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoahaz away and brought him to Egypt, and he died there. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land in order to give the money at the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land, each according to his valuation, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebedah, the daughter of Padiah of Rumah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. The Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans, bands of Arameans, bands of Moabites, bands of Ammonites. So he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through his servants, the prophets. Surely at the command of the Lord it came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood which he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not forgive. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, became king in his place. The king of Egypt did not come out of his land again, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. He carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. And he led away into exile all Jerusalem, and all the captains, and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. So he led Jehoiachin away into exile to Babylon. Also the king's mother and the king's wives and his officials and the leading men of the land he led away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen and the smiths, 1,000, all strong and fit for war, and these the king of Babylon brought into exile to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made his uncle Mattaniah king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord this came about in Jerusalem and Judah until he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Judah. And thus far in the word of the Lord. Things at the towards the end of the book now are about chapter 25, the next chapter is the last chapter in 2 Kings, and the book of the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. So as we look at what's going on and how we've seen the author of Kings tell us about each king as they've come along, now he's speeding up, as you can see, and the Lord is speeding up the reigns of these kings, just like we saw earlier, I believe it was in chapter 15 or so, that he sped up the kings. There's four kings here. And so all that is left now, the author is showing you life after Josiah's reign, after his death in the late 7th century B.C. And so what we have until the end of the book is 22 years covered and four kings of Judah. Josiah was such a great king, and now the goal is just to get to the end of Judah, of Judah's kings, just to get it over with before the exile comes, or by the time the exile comes. And so, in a short section this evening, we cover all the way up to the Babylonian exile of Judah. Verse 32 of chapter 23, Jehoahaz did evil in the sight of the Lord. He reigned 3 months. In verse 37, Jehoiakim reigned 11 years and did evil in the sight of the Lord. In chapter 24, verse 9, Jehoiachin reigned 3 months and did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 19 of chapter 24, Zedekiah reigned 11 years and did evil in the sight of the Lord. So looking at those two who reigned for 11 years, the 3 months, they don't do very much. So looking at those two, Jehoiakim first, who reigned 11 years, he had definitely some issues, because we learn, if we look at Jeremiah, prophet, he had a great house, Jehoiakim did. He had a great house, refused to pay the builders in the midst of the great financial struggles, as we read about here, about concerning, or because of Pharaoh Necho. He didn't pay the builders, even in a tough time. He burned Jeremiah's prophecy scroll. He killed all faithful prophets who opposed him and hated him, and even hated Yahweh. Zedekiah was the last king there, fourth king in our section. Zedekiah was different. He was not very rigid. He was more of a politician who doesn't tell you what he thinks until he hears what you think. And so then he responds with exactly what you say. He is very indecisive, and he does whatever the people want him to do. And so, no wonder the author is rushing to the end to get it over with, because Judah has what was past hope. Judah's end was a fulfillment of Yahweh's word, as it says in verse 2 of chapter 24, they came and judged the land. And then it goes on and talks about how in verse 3, because of Manasseh and his sin. So you see the beginnings of it right there in chapter 24, verse 2, when the Lord sent all those nations against Judah to destroy it. We see here the leaders that Yahweh gives a nation. Just like we see in verse 20 of chapter 24, the leaders of Yahweh that Yahweh gives may be part of his judgment upon a nation. And so we see a quick run through the last four kings of Judah to get to that great exile that takes place. Jerusalem being destroyed, people let out from Babylon or to Babylon, and all the treasuries, including the treasuries of the house of the Lord, the temple, were carried off. And what hope would there be for such people in that time? You see, after the exile, what they went through and how it was a struggle for them emotionally, physically even. And think of it even here. They're going into exile. They've seen the northern kingdom go into exile through Assyria. Now the southern kingdom, all that is left of the physical land of Israel, is now in exile. What hope is there for such people? And that is, we know, only the forever King, Jesus. Only He can bring them out of slavery through His death and resurrection, and that is where we must find our hope as well. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for the forever King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You teach us more about the lead up to the Babylonian exile, and perhaps now we have a better, clearer picture of the whole event from before, during, and after. As now we are looking at Nehemiah and his writing in the mornings. And Father, we thank You for, obviously, Your Son. We thank You for how these kings failed and they were evil, so that they could put their whole hope in the Messiah and that King who would reign forever. And they point us to the same thing, to look to not the kings of this world or the politicians or our presidents or rulers and authority for hope. We do not look there. We cannot look there because they will always disappoint us. Even when there are glimmers of hope, they, in the end or in time, disappoint. And that hope is broken. It is a hope in vain. And yet, Father, we have only one hope, and You teach us that here, in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our King, who reigns over all, who is sovereign over all, who is eternal, who is very God of very God. We thank You for Him and His sacrifice, which we will look at in a few moments, and also His resurrection, which we celebrate life today with great joy. We praise Your name because this time that we have now even points us forward to that time when we will worship You forever and ever, and eternal life that we already have will come to full fruition and realization in our minds and our hearts. And so, Father, give us hope in Your Son. Give us hope not in the things of this world, but in the things of the world to come, in You, and even that reward which You have given to us already, secured, guaranteed, sealed, not to be taken away from us, for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Father, because of these things that we've heard this evening, we pray that You would be with our governing authorities, that they would not be a source of our hope, that though we see constantly bad things from many of them, Father, we pray that we would not be discouraged or downtrodden or depressed, because You reign in heaven. And perhaps now is a time where You are bringing judgment upon a nation such as this or other nations around the world through the leaders that You have given. And therefore it is a good providence to us. And in that, Father, we pray, if that is true, if that is what You are doing, Father, we ask that You would spare us. Spare our nation for the few righteous that remain in it. And use Your church, not only here, but throughout the world, to be a light in a dark place. So, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name, so we plead with You to hear us because of Him. Amen.